Got your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn with us to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2. We're going to continue at looking at the seven letters Christ handed to John to deliver to the churches in Asia in the days of John there. And remind you tonight that these letters all have something to say to you and I in the day that we live. And, I guess a lot of people might think it's more or less a history lesson going through these letters, but, you know, it's filled with some mistakes. It's filled with some challenges and encouragements to all the churches and to you and I tonight on an individual basis. God always has something to say to us out of His Word. And so I want us to get some things out of these churches. Right? You know, if you can't learn from somebody else's mistakes, you're in for a fall. Amen? And, I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than to make it myself and have to learn the hard way. And so there's some things that these churches did. Some of them did wrong. And some of the things that they allowed, we can learn some things from. And so I want us to look tonight at the message to Thyatira in Revelation chapter number 2. We'll begin reading with verse number 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I'll kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I'll give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for letting us be in church one more time, God. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come this way. I pray, God, you'd open our hearts, God, and minds to the Word of God tonight, Lord. I pray you'd speak to us, Lord, God, through your book tonight, Lord. Help us now, God. We cast everything upon you, asking you, Lord, to, God, speak through us for these few minutes, Lord. We love you and thank you again for Jesus, for the blood, and all you do for us in life, Lord. Bless all them, God, that's on our prayer list. God, bless Brother Ken as he preaches tonight, God. Lord, I pray tonight, God, for those that's lost, God. Lord, that you convict, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, that you draw them with cords of love to a place of repentance and salvation, Lord. God, we want to be mindful, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, we want to be burdened for them, Lord. Realizing, God, they need our prayers, Lord, and they need you in their life, Lord. God, we realize time is nigh, Lord, you soon to appear, Lord. God, help us to be found faithful, Lord, at your coming. We love you in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thyatira. We looked at Ephesus, a church that was careless. They left their first love. And we looked at Smyrna. Smyrna was a crown church. They had nothing condemning this church. Nothing was wrong in this church, but they were being persecuted. Millions of Christians during that church age were being put to death. And also, we looked at Pergamos, the church that compromised. You know, they had problems on the outside of being persecuted, and they got careless and compromised, and they let heretics come in on the inside and begin to turn to the ways of Balaam and the ways of the Nicolaitans. And we looked at that the last time we talked, but tonight in Thyatira, this church was known as the corrupted church. Corrupted church. The things that they allowed to come into the church in that day. And I want to say, too, that there was a faithful few. God always has seemed like a remnant of people that will remain faithful. And I thank God for that today. Thank God there's still some churches that's standing upon the old King James Bible, that's standing upon truth tonight, teaching truth and preaching truth and reaching out to a lost and dying world. And I'm glad we're one of those here at Liberty Baptist Church tonight. Amen? And God help us to always stand upon truth in this day of compromise and corruption. And, you don't have to look out at this old world very far to you see a big change that's coming on in our society today, in our culture today. Man is not getting better. Man's getting worse. In the last days, they'll be deceiving and deceiving each other. And the things that's going on in the Bible, it clearly outlines the day that we live. We better wake up, church, and realize that we're in the last days, that the Lord is soon to come. And I want us to look at tonight at the mistakes that was made in this church at Thyatira. This particular time period, you'll notice this is the longest letter that Christ gave John here to deliver to this church. It was also the longest church age. It ran from around 600 A.D. to around 1500 A.D. It was a time when Romanism was on the rise. The Roman Catholic was on the rise in that day. And the things that was coming in, they started out, I believe, following the teachings of Christ, but little by little by little, they began to let things come in. And things like the teachings of purgatory, last rites, and things like this. Brother Duane was raised a Catholic. I know he could enlighten folks a whole lot about the teachings of the Catholic Church. Praying to Mary and the enthronement of the Holy Father in 607 A.D. You have your first pope that was placed into a holy position, and people looked up to him as like he was a god or something. And so it was like a time and age of the departure from the teachings of Christ. Little by little, the devil crept in. And he'll do the same today. Yes, amen. You know, the Roman Catholic religion there, it became the state religion of Rome. And there was probably no doubt millions upon millions of people that just became a part of the church, not going through the process of being born again. And that's a danger in a lot of churches today. Amen? There's a lot of folks who'll just say, come join me, and everything in your life's going to be all right. Just get your name on the church roll. Just come to church and be a good person and give your money to us, and you're all right. There's a lot of damnable doctrines and lies going on in this world today. But today, I want us to look at a few things in this scripture right here. First of all, I want us to look at the authority that's established. Secondly, the approval that's explained. And then thirdly, the abhorred is exposed. And lastly, the assurance that encourages us. First of all, the authority that's established. Now, I mentioned about the Roman Catholic Church age. And let's notice some things. He says in verse number 18, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. Notice in this authority that the Lord Jesus is establishing right here. His deity. He identifies himself right here as the Son of God. the Son of God. In the Roman Catholic faith, they put a lot of emphasis on Mary. And Mary, they called her the Mother of God. They called her the Queen of Heaven. And Jesus just was the Son of Mary. But Jesus makes it very clear right here, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I take second place to nobody. Nobody. Mary was a great woman, the mother of Jesus. But she's not to be worshipped and she's not to be prayed to. We pray through the Lord Jesus Christ and the throne of grace that He's given you as I, as a child of God. And He is deity right here. He said, I am the Son of God. And he goes on and he has some more things to say about right here, about him being the Son of God. Notice this, not only his deity, but his discernment. He mentions eyes likened to a flame of fire. Fire is something that purges. Fire is something that pierces and consumes. And Jesus is saying right here that my eyes are fire. I can pierce into the hearts of man. I know your heart. Jesus knows everything about me. Jesus knows me better than I know myself. Jesus knows you. He knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. And He knows everything about us right here. And He said, my eyes are like a flame of fire. I can see through you. That's something to think about, isn't it? Jesus knows the hidden things of my heart and the hidden things of your heart. We're open to Him. And he's saying that right here to the church in Thyatira. My eyes are powerful and it penetrates through the darkness of your heart and my heart and sees all things. Not only that right there, his deity, his discernment, but his discipline. Notice this right here. He says, and his feet like fine brass. Brass in the Bible speaks of judgment. And Jesus is saying right here, I've got the authority. I'm the one that purchased the church with my blood. I've got the authority to judge you and to discipline you and to give you what you stand in need of to correct you, to rebuke you, to exhort you. Whatever you need, Jesus is saying right here, I'm the Son of God. I'm yours, you're mine, and I'm going to watch after you. I'm going to see through you. I'm going to correct you if you need correcting. Amen. We better realize today that same verse right there applies to you and I today as a child of God, a part of the church of the living God. We belong to Him. And He's surely going to see after His children. If we need discipline, He's going to discipline us. His authority is established right here, the Son of God. But let's move on now. His approval right here is explained. In verse 19, He says right here, I know thy works. And charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. He mentions works again. And the last to be more than the first. Jesus is always looking for some good works out of you and I. As a child of God, right? Amen? He saved us. He's created us. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And He's created us unto good works. Isn't that what the Bible says? We all have a work to do and we ought to be realizing in our lives not to get too consumed with the things of the world that we belong to Him. And He's looking for some good works. And He found some folks right here in Thyatira that were working. They were doing a good work. They were in His will. But notice this right here. I'm talking about His approval that's explained. First of all, I want you to notice right here the part that's essential. That is essential. He mentions works and then he comes right in and he says, and charity. This word charity is translated to mean love. Love. And now let's look over. I got a few things and I want you to see what the Bible tells us about love. In 1 Corinthians, those of you that read your Bible will know this right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, let's read two or three verses right here and let you see what the Bible says. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He says, it doesn't matter how eloquent a speech I've got, how much knowledge I've got, and how I can deliver. It doesn't impress God one bit if I'm not doing it in love. If I'm not standing up here tonight and teaching and studying the Word of God to bring the message of God to you, then I've failed. I'm worthless. I'm nothing if I don't love you. Now, let's go a little further. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, what a statement, and have not charity, I am nothing. Sounds like love is important in the eyes of God, doesn't it? God's very nature is love. And one of the attributes of God that He bestows upon us is the ability to love as He loves. And we better be careful that we do that in our lives. Verse 3, He says, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Love is something that this church had going for them. Wouldn't it be amazing if we at Liberty Baptist Church could come together and love one another as Christ loved us? There's too much bickering going on in this old world today. Life is too short to be bitter at somebody else. Amen. We're to love one another. And we're to love God. We're to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if we love one another, the Bible says that all men will know we're His disciples if we have love one for another. A true disciple of God. I'm not to run around with my feelings up on my shoulder, daring somebody to insult me, to hurt my feelings, so I can get mad at you. I'm supposed to be humble. I'm supposed to prefer you before me. Amen. I'm to prefer your feelings before my own feelings. And if I'm mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm following the Word of God, I can get over some things. Christ got over some things, didn't He, Brother Lee? Hey, He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was slapped. They plucked His beard out. They crowned Him with thorns. And on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is something we need in our hearts, in our lives, in our church. Loving one another. Forgiving one another. Well, somebody's going to do something to rub you the wrong way. Somebody's bound to. You're not going to agree with everything I do. I ain't going to agree with everything you do. But we better learn how to forgive one another and love one another. Because ain't nobody, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. All right, let's move on here. All right, His approval is explained. The part that's essential. I ain't through with that. Let's look in 1 John. 1 John. Let's go over to chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This chapter has a tremendous amount of love mentioned in it. And let's look at verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, He says this, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. You know what over in Galatians chapter 5, the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned is? Love. Love. You know, There's so much going on in this old world to make people bitter, to make people angry. I can watch 30 minutes of Fox News and I'm ready to load my gun. Well, I already got it loaded. Empty gun ain't going to help nobody. But I'm ready to go out and march around the house three times. But we better love one another. Verse number 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Listen to this now. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. I don't know why I got off on that so much. But I think, you know, if we love each other, if we love God like we should, we'll love sinners. We'll pray for the lost. We'll be burdened for lost people. You know, when I was a lost man, somebody, and no doubt somebody was praying for me. And church, we better be praying for lost folks. Because this thing is winding down so fast. The Lord could come at any time. I've studied enough of the Word of God to know that for a fact. Jesus is coming. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That's what the Bible says. He's going to take this world by surprise one of these days. His approval is explained. The part that's essential, love, charity, and the power that's effectual. It's effectual. Love is the most powerful thing in the world. God so loved the world that He sent Jesus to the cross that we could have a chance at life. He loved us that much. Now, this church at Thyatira, no doubt they loved the Lord. They loved each other. They loved the ministry that God had given them right here, because it says that they were in service. Their faith and their patience right here. They loved the ministry. They loved sinners. They loved the church. And, you know, they had their lives focused in the right direction. Even though they just like you and I, they had to make a living. They had to live life. But they saw an importance of doing a work for God. And the power that they had of charity right here, he mentions works twice. I know thy works, charity, service, faith, patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. They were increasing in works. You know, most folks are looking to get out of work. I'm talking about church work. I ain't talking about out there on a job somewhere. Everybody's wanting to get out of that, I reckon. They stand at the mailbox waiting on the next check to come in. But these people right here, they were looking for something to do. I don't think the preacher had to go running and begging people to work. I think they was looking for some work to do. Because it says that the last to be more than the first. Their works were increasing. Boy, we better be up and about our Father's business. Realize we've all got a work to do. His authority established, His approval explained. But notice this, the abhorred is exposed. The abhorred is exposed. Notice what the Bible says in verse 20 through 24. And we'll touch on a few things right here. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Under great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I'm He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I'll give unto every one of you according to your works. Some strong words right there. Jezebel. Now, in studying this right here and reading what some different men have pinned down, a lot smarter folks than me, you know, I wonder, is this a person, Jezebel? Is it symbolic? Is it both? And I tend to think it's maybe both. I think that the words he states in verse number 20 right here, which calls herself a prophetess to teach, seduce my servants, commit fornication, it sounds like they must have been somebody in the church at that time that was a woman with the, you know, powerful woman. Maybe she was one of the Roman leaders' wives, and she issued her authority into the church right there to bring in damnable heresies and things. But notice this right here. As we look at this woman, Jezebel, if you look back in your Bible over in the 1 Kings, Jezebel was a Zidonian woman. Ahab, the king of Israel, he goes out and he marries her, a pagan woman, brings her into Israel. She brings Baal worship back into Israel. And she corrupted the people of Israel. She was wicked. She was evil. She had the Lord's prophets killed. She corrupted Israel with Baal worship. They built all these shrines, these things to worship Baal. Ahab, he did more, the Bible says, to provoke the Lord to anger than all before him. And Jezebel, she incited all of it. Baal worship. Now, I want you to notice a thing or two about Baal worship. Baal worship, Baal was a pagan god of fertility. Listen to this. And worship of Baal, and they had temples, they had places of worship. It involved homosexuality. It involved orgies. There was temple prostitutes there. All manner of sexual perversions and abominations took place in the worship of Baal. Even child sacrifices to Baal took place. Now, I was reading after one man, and he says that many think that Baal worship is prevalent in the world today. How? Well, think about this right here. Think about the things that are accepted in society today. The abominations that's accepted. This litter is trying to be forced upon us, forced upon our children, that God says is an abomination. Amen. Would you ever believe that a transsexual, would be in the president's cabinet? I mean, he was ugly as a man. Much less a woman. And now, you got one that's going to run for governor in California. And people, all this stuff just creeping in more and more and more. And we better be teaching our children what God says in this Bible right here is an abomination, and God hadn't compromised. God hadn't changed His mind about one thing. And He won't. We better realize that. Homosexuality, the things that's been, just used to be, wasn't accepted in society, today is accepted. It's just creeping in more and more and more. All the things. And then the child sacrifices. Brother Dwayne, back then they were sacrificing children to Baal. What about the United States of America that's aborted? How many? 61 million. 61 million. Isn't that a type of child sacrifice? Don't you know all them kids would have loved to live? Human beings. And America just takes it like it's squashing a bug. God ain't pleased with none of that. None of it. the wickedness of this old world, Jezebel, she's alive today. Jezebel. Now, she was a seducer, a deceiver, a devil. And, you know, some writers say that this Jezebel right here is a reference to the Roman Catholics, the Romanism that was coming up in that day. Because the teachings had come in and erred from the faith and the things, the doctrines of Christ, bringing in strange and damnable doctrines in that day. But he goes on right here, and he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now, this is telling me that this type of religion, this form of religion, it's alive then, it's still alive today, and it'll be alive when the tribulation takes place. It'll still be going on then. It's going to go into the tribulation, except those that are caught up in it see their error and repent of their sins and accept Christ. And he said, behold, I'll cast her into bed. Them that commit adultery with her. Adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, we can commit spiritual adultery ourselves. Amen? We can turn from the teachings of this Bible right here, and we can accept damnable doctrines of the devil and commit spiritual adultery in the eyes of God. And so there's a warning right there to you and I. We better examine ourselves, see where we stand with God, and see if our lives line up with this Bible right here, and our doctrines line up with this Bible, and our beliefs line up with this Bible, and our stand lines up with this Bible right here. Because if we start to yield to the devil and the things of the devil, then God has a right to be angry. God has a right to judge. And that's what he was saying to this church right here. I'll judge you, except you repent. Now, he mentions right here in verse 24. He says, But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I'll put upon you none other burden. The depths of Satan. I got to thinking about the depths of Satan. And I got to thinking about the religious. You know, the devil loves religion. That's one of his biggest devices. Religion. I went on Google and I looked up how many religions in the world. How many? And it astounded me at how many. Anywhere from 42 to 4,300 different religions in the world today. And there's also 12 to 18 major religions in the world today. People are, you know, there's a lot of folks that claim to be atheists, but atheism is a religion. And Christianity is first still. Islam is on the rise. But I want to tell you something tonight. I don't care what religion a person is involved in, what they believe. Jesus is the only way. Only way. Only way. And this old world would have you to believe that there's many ways to God. There's only one way. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Amen. This world, the devil's doing his work. He's deceiving multitudes and multitudes of millions of people. No wonder the Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself. Thank God. Really, thank God that I was raised up to know the truth. Thank God. You ought to thank God every day. You could have been raised up over in the Middle East. You could have been raised up a Muslim. Deceived. On your way to hell and don't even realize it. Thank God for the gospel. For the truth of the gospel. His authority established. His approval explained. The abhorred is exposed. But then the assurance that encourages. Notice what he says right here to this church and to you and I. Verse 25. These are some victory verses right here. He says, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. In other words, you may hit some rough waters before you get home. Before I come, he said, hold fast. Hold on. Be faithful. Be found faithful when I come. Because I am a coming. He's a coming back one of these glorious days, friend. And I want to be found faithful when He appears. Don't you? Lord, help us all. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I'll give power over the nations. Now, he's got a reward for those that are faithful. For those that he finds working and interested in the things of God when he comes. He says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and in earth today. Good to be saved. It's good to be a Christian. And he says then, and I'll give him the morning star. He is the morning star. In Revelation chapter number 22, he says this right here, and I'm fixing to close right here. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. What a reward to have a place reserved in heaven. What a reward to not have to go into the great tribulation and eventually be cast into a devil's hell. What a reward to be promised to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. What a Savior we have. What a God. Thyatira. They allowed the church there to be corrupted. And that's one thing the devil would love to do at Liberty Baptist Church. He'd love to get his agents in here. Hey, they're not going to come in some ugly way. It'll be somebody real sweet. Maybe real smart. Maybe they know some things. Maybe they know some truths. But they'll try to slip in some error. And a little bit, and a little bit, and he'll get you to believe. He'll get you to believe. First thing you know, it's spreading like a cancer till it's all corrupted. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But that little leaven starts out small, and it grows. We better be on guard in the day that we live. The devil would love to consume us. Corrupt us to where we'd be worth nothing at all to anybody. Thank you for being here tonight. Anyway.